What are the elements of a hymn that stands the test of time?
It has these ingredients of proportionality, of harmony, symmetry, and you hear it in the music and also in the lyrics. The lyrics of the great hymns are rich in content, and they are expressing what we're trying to feel in the attitude of worship.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul. We're going to be talking about those elements of a great hymn today as we tell you about a new collection of sacred music called Saints of Zion. Dr. Sproul once again has collaborated with award-winning composer Jeff Lippincott, and we're pleased to have them both with us on the program today. R.C., it was 2 years ago that you worked together with Jeff on an album that has become immensely popular. That one, of course, was called Glory to the Holy One. What inspired you to work on this new project together?
Well, in the first aspect, really, the overwhelming response to the first CD, the Glory to the Holy One, it was beyond my wildest dreams, and it was such a thrilling experience spiritually to work on that project with the hymns and so on with Jeff. And so it was just almost automatic that we continue. We're planning for the third project already. So it's just been a wonderful experience. And also because I have this tremendous concern for the hymnody of the church. And Martin Luther said that the only thing that is second to the importance of the word is music, because music has an unbelievable ability to stir the heart and move the soul. And we've discovered that with the first CD. And if people don't have that first CD, I strongly recommend it. And now we get a chance to have a taste of this second one.
R.C., over the years, you've given a rather critical assessment of music in the church, but you said that you really didn't want to just be the one to speak out about the problem. You wanted to do something about it, right?
That's exactly right. And we have a commitment at Ligonier to the threefold element of the character of God, the good, the true, and the beautiful. And I believe that God is very much concerned with beauty. And beauty is not just simply a matter of subjectivity. Certainly there's an element of the subjective involvement, personal preference, and so on. But classically, we can identify certain elements of aesthetics, certain aspects of beauty that are extremely important. And I think we've moved away from that in large part in the contemporary church.
That's true. You know, I feel like with these projects that we've been working on, the element of truth that RC is able to convey and the element of beauty that the orchestra and the choir are able to convey as well, married together, I think produce something in the current evangelical church climate that's not there right now. We're sort of the tip of the sword here because it's not really being presented this way at this time. Why that is, I mean, there's tons of reasons you can come up with why worship is in the state it's in. But I think that RC and I feel like the edge of where we are musically and theologically on these hymns is the edge that hopefully cuts through the noise of worship in the church today.
What did you both hope to communicate in this particular project, Saints of Zion? What's your overriding theme here in producing this?
There's no single theme. I mean, in the first one, we were looking at aspects of the person and work of Christ principally, and we continue that motif. But it's also looking at various aspects of biblical truth, and we look at different texts of the scripture, like John 14 and Revelation 21, and we look at the early hymns that were inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. The one we did in the first one was the Benedictus, the Zacharias hymn. Now we have the Magnificat in the second volume. And so there are various aspects. There's no one dominating theme, other than looking at various aspects of biblical revelation.
Yeah, I think in the first project, you know, we started out with the sort of open canvas vibe of we're going to go out and we're going to just write some things and we're going to see, you know, if we like it. And we didn't really understand at the time what we were creating or why we were creating. I think in the second project, we had a little bit more definition in the fact that we wanted to pick out certain thematic content. And I think RC, you know, combing through the scriptures, had some pre-thought ideas as to things he wanted to convey theologically that he felt that would work in a hymnody sort of fashion. So I think at the second project, we had a little bit more point as far as direction, but no overwhelming thematic content other than truth and beauty.
While we'll be playing selections from this new album, we have posted a link to the lyrics on our Facebook page so that you can follow along. On Facebook, search for Renewing Your Mind, and you'll find that link there. Right now, you're listening to the dramatic introduction to the title track of Saints of Zion. The first verse is, "From Abel's favored offering to Jesus' holy cross, the Church of God's own choosing has triumphed over loss."
Thank you.
In sweet communion wed, the bride awaits her glory, Lord Jesus Christ, her head. It's a beautiful hymn, the title track of Saints of Zion. RC and Jeff, would you give our listeners an idea of how your collaboration works? Do you write the music first, or is the lyrics, RC?
Normally, we start by first we start with Jeff nagging me to death to write new lyrics. And then once I get the lyrics written, then he does his magic. Then he adds the musical score and the composition. There was only one hymn that we did it the other way around, where in the first album we did the Highland hymn, where he had written the music, and then afterwards I wrote the lyrics. But that was the reverse of the normal procedure.
It's actually a pretty detailed process, because we start out with me nagging RC, and then he finally writes a lyric with my encouragement, standing over his shoulder, hurry up. And then I take the lyric, and then I start playing around with ideas. Typically, then I'll mock the idea up, which is in my studio. I have all my gear, and I'll mock up a bass track for it, something that I, as I write the melody and as I write the what I'm hearing his lyric try to say melodically, then I actually bring in some singers and we do a mock choral session just to sort of take the idea out even further. Because, you know, the issue we have with these projects are we're trying to hit three targets with one dart. So we want them to work as a project. We want it to be a beautiful thing to listen to. So we hire the best singers and the best orchestras. Secondarily, they need to work in concert, because we want to bring these hymns to the church. So they have to work in concert, and I'm starting to have the audiences sing along on some of these hymns when we do the concerts. And third, the third target we're trying to hit is it actually has to work as a standalone hymn in the church. So we try. Now, look, we're aiming at targets that are super hard to hit all three of those targets with the same dart. But when I'm writing the melodies to these hymns, I have to think of three things. Is it a beautiful melody? Does it have arc? Does it have shape? Does it sing? Does it sing the lyric that RC is wanting it to sing? Okay, so you got to get past that. Then secondly, how does it sing in church? Can a normal parishioner sing this melody? Is it all over the place? Is it something that makes sense? And then thirdly, is this combination of lyric and melody something that will last? Is it transient? Is it something that's quick? Is it something that, oh, it pleases me now, but it doesn't have a lineage behind it? You know, the great hymns of the faith, I mean, these melodies, not only because they've been sung over the centuries, but these melodies, the right ones, married with the right lyric, are timeless. Look, the hymnals are full of hymns that nobody sings. They don't sing them because they don't work. The melodies don't work. Doesn't mean that sometimes the theology is correct or not correct, depending on where you're coming from a theological background. But the music doesn't carry the lyric. And it's very important that we focus, when RC and write these hymns, that our focus is on marrying the right melody to the lyric so that it presents itself not only as a way to express the truth in beauty, but that it actually functions in the church.
What is the characteristic, in your opinion, RC, of hymns that have stood the test of time?
That's really a difficult question, because there are so many variables that are involved in it. But if I go back to the fundamentals of aesthetics, in the earliest moments of the church, and even before the church was established, Aristotle, in plummeting the depths of his concept of aesthetics, paved the groundwork for later theories that were developed by Augustine and much further by Thomas Aquinas, and then even, in my opinion, more deeply by Jonathan Edwards, that there are certain elements that go into beauty, and they are harmony, simplicity, proportionality, and those are some of the key objective ingredients of great music and of great art. A stick figure is one thing. It's simple. But to fill it out, to add to the beauty, involves proportionality and consistency, And what you have in the famous hymns of the church, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymns like Rock of Ages, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, these are enduring hymns. Some even go back much further than that to Bernard of Clairvaux. And it has these ingredients of proportionality, of harmony, symmetry. And you hear it in the music and also in the lyrics. So the lyrics of the great hymns are rich in content, and they are expressing what we're trying to feel in the attitude of worship.
So along the way, Jeff, as you're writing the music, do you get back together with RC and think that, well, maybe if we put this word here or rearrange this sentence, is there a give and take on that?
There's a little bit, but I really try not to alter the lyric unless it's just I have this melody and I'm trying to cram something into it. But very rarely will I say on these, typically when I'm reading through the lyric, the prose, the way it lays out, way RC lays it out, it's already sort of a poem. It's already got that arc that creates the hymn naturally. So typically I don't have a whole lot of time spent trying to come back to him and going, oh, you know what? I really want this melody, but we need to change these words to fit this. Typically that's not the case. It really just flows very naturally.
Well, there's usually, with each hymn is a different, but the hymns are metrical. I follow a certain meter when I'm writing the lyrics, and that's important that there be a meter if you're going to translate it into music.
Exactly, and that's part, I think, of the proportion of it all. And the singability in the church, you know, it starts metrically in RC's mind when he's writing it. It translates musically metrically to what I'm trying to write melodically, and then that, hopefully, translates to a commonality in the church where it's simple, singable, and it translates to hopefully people singing.
The primary purpose is to create hymns, as Jeff has already said. But we also see the scores being used as they are deepened and broadened with the musical background as functioning for choral music as well.
As anthems, in the worship service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this next hymn has a sort of a different feel to it. It's titled Grace of God. The chorus is, Grace of God, O grace of God, all our sin in Christ atoned. Grace of God, sweet grace of God, in mercy lead us home.
Grace.
R.C., you have said that the church's greatest need is to know who God is and to know who we are. Is that front and center in your thinking as you write lyrics to these hymns?
Oh, absolutely. Remember, I believe that the ultimate purpose for our salvation and redemption is worship. When the Exodus took place and God heard the cries of his people and he sent Moses to give the message to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. Why? Simply that they might be free? No, there was more to it than that. Is it that they may come out and worship me on my holy mountain? And I think that the zenith of our Christian experience is when we come together corporately in the body of Christ to give our sacrifice of praise and honor and adoration to God. That's what worship is. And music is so important, I believe, as the Psalms make it very clear, is very important to the whole atmosphere and ambiance of the worship of God.
Well, I had the privilege of sitting in on some of the recording, which was done for this album at St. Andrew's Chapel. And R.C., you were there for every bit of that. You were part of the whole recording process, weren't you?
Yes. Of course, I mean, but again, we did it in stages where he goes and has a full orchestra and then a outstanding choir and then has to mix that all together to the final product. And then, of course, we did it with a partial orchestra and our choir at St. Andrew's, and I got to hear it there in concert. It was magnificent.
Well, and the other part of the technical puzzle is that you're picking different people for different things. And so on the first project, I traveled all over the world. This one, just all over the country. So we did the orchestra here in Orlando. We did the choir in Kansas City. I mixed it in Boston. So,
and you went to, in the first one, you went to England the boy choir from the Canterbury boy choir as part of one of the hymns that we did there. And also the Irish.
The bagpipes and it's trying to find the right players. Ligonier is good at doing everything well. And we try to do that on these projects. We go find the best people that we think will work on the projects and express what we've written in a musical and excellent way.
Expressing the profound truths of God deserves nothing less than excellence. You've been listening to an interview with Dr. R.C. Sproul and award-winning composer Jeff Lippincott today here on Renewing Your Mind. This project has been a labor of love for them, and we would love for you and your family to enjoy this album. We're making the CD available to you for your gift of any amount. It's called Saints of Zion. We played portions of it for you today, and we'll play more tomorrow, and we hope you'll join us for that. But you can request this CD by simply contacting us at 800-435-4343 for your gift of any amount. We'll be glad to send it your way. You can also make your request and give your gift at renewingyourmind.org. Dr. Sproul maintains there is so much we can learn about theology just by singing hymns. And that's why this is such an important project for R.C. and Ligonier Ministries. So again, we invite you to request this CD for your gift of any amount. You can make your request at renewingyourmind.org, or you can call us at 800-435-4343. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Sproul and Jeff Lippincott return to share with us a few more pieces from this album. They'll also provide a peek behind the scenes and share some stories about the recording process. It is fascinating. So we hope you'll join us Friday for Renewing Your Mind.